You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
And then they were like, hey, you know what? Let's push to 2022. And that was when I was like, fuck no. I was like, you guys, like look at what's going on right now. Like, everyone is locked inside their home. And I don't know about you, but I am on Spotify every day, all day long, looking for new music to get me through this shit. I was like, this is not something that we push. It's ready to go. Like, we're ready. You have everything that you need. Let's do this, and let's give people something to look forward to.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you've been having a great week. I most certainly have been. Before we jump into today's episode, I would just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'm also asking you to rate it and write a review, because when you do that, more people just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, and that would be something that I would greatly appreciate. You should also sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, including all the details about any episodes which I have dropped throughout that past week, if I have been a guest on someone else's podcast, as well as the updated links to future live interview Thirsty Thursday virtual hangs, as well as the links to the Brutal Awakenings playlists curated by Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself, which is available on both Apple Music and Spotify. Do yourself a favor, sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. Trust me, this is a party that you do not want to miss. Now, today's episode was recorded during last week's Thirsty Thursday virtual hang. Today, I am super stoked to be back with Brittany Slays of Unleash the Archers. This is Vox and Hops episode number 250.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today, I am back with Brittany Slays, but this time around, we are recording this interview live at Thirsty Thursday. I love doing these. It's so cool to interview someone that I've been with before, but also with a virtual live audience, and then they get to ask you questions. First off, how are you doing, Brittany?
I'm doing well, thank you. How about you?
I'm doing real good. Busy, tired, but super happy to be with everyone tonight. Let's just jump straight into it. Are you drinking a seltzer tonight?
You're never going to let me live that down, are you? Never. Crap. No, I am not. I am drinking a Cannery Brewing Sunblink Berry Sour.
That sounds delicious.
Cannery is actually run by a friend of mine, so I'm looking for some cred, street cred with them right now.
Perfect. Are they a metal brewery?
No, definitely not.
As we talk after, when I stop recording, you'll understand why I asked that question. For myself, I'm drinking a Pub Brewski. This is their Trois Lois du Mouvement, and it is a double dry hopped IPA, 7%, that's been hopped with Idaho Gem, Idaho 7, and Simcoe. I love Pub Brewski. I was there today. Very busy. Fun day. Let's see. Last time we spoke, it was right before your album dropped. And I have to say that you seemed a bit depressed and down. So I'm wondering how you have evolved since I think we spoke at the beginning of August. Take me from how you cope from that moment until now.
Well, you know, I was feeling pretty good there when everything started getting rescheduled. And now I'm starting to feel that cancellation anxiety again as I watch all the festivals fall apart once more. But, I mean, it feels better. I think things are starting to come together for the fall, so that's nice. It's looking maybe like Canada might have their shit together on the vaccine front, so we could have our vaccines by July, like they originally said. So that would be nice. That would mean that if some of the festivals that do go forward, which were scheduled for August, some of them that we had slots for that are occurring in August are trying to go ahead. So we might actually be able to go and do those if we can, you know, if we say, okay, we've got our first shot and they're like 90% effective or whatever, it might stop us from having to quarantine and all that crap. So that might be good. And then it's looking like a North American tour for maybe like September, October might be happening. And we've already announced our European dates for December. So I'm feeling positive. I've always been a firm believer in no expectations, no disappointments. So I am literally, you know, like preparing for the worst, but hoping for the best right now. But I think it's, you know, and a lot of people are really loving the new record, and that's great too. So that's where I'm at.
I love the record. It's been on constant rotation.
Oh, no way.
No, honestly, it's just so damn catchy. Oh. And I clean my house to it. It's taken over. It's taken my house cleaning CD prior to your record was the Night Flight Orchestra.
Oh, nice.
I would put that on and my house would just get clean. So you have definitely taken over that, you know, abyss.
That's
just
awesome.
It's perfect. It's one of those records that it finishes and I'm sad. And I have to start it again.
That was the point. Yes. Make them press replay.
But it's the truth. I'm not just saying that. I don't normally say things like this, but it's definitely true.
I think
that a Canadian tour would probably be the first things that start happening. That's my take on the whole corona, the COVID situation. I think going into different countries is going to be difficult, honestly. And I think that we're going to start seeing Canadian bands starting to pair up, and hit the road together across Canada.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I'd totally be down with that. Get over to Halifax, where we haven't been in like years, maybe. Yeah, or like just do the whole gambit. That'd be awesome. Yeah, maybe.
Absolutely.
You might be right.
What would be a dream Canadian tour lineup for you?
Oh, well, that's too hard. Oh, man. Too many good times with a lot of friends on the road over the years. Definitely would have to put Crimson Shadows on the bill because we love those boys and we came up with them. Like they started around the same time as us. We toured a lot doing the same things, played all of our Toronto shows with them basically since the beginning of time. I don't know how our fans might feel about the genre blending, but like a Crimson, UTA, Cryptopsy, Cataclysm fucking might be pretty epic. Would love to do something like that. We played with Cataclysm like a million fucking years ago as an opener that was like just thrown on the bill and everyone was like, who the fuck are these guys? We're just like, maybe it'd be nice to, you know, be on a tour where people actually know who we are.
Would it be awesome to do? I like these eclectic tour packages. I'm a huge fan of The Cult of Luna, and they make this experience, this road burn on wheels, basically, where it's not just one genre just pummeling you all night. And I think that mm-hmm. the future of touring will be that, especially when tours come back, because everyone's going to want a tour. So we're going to have like these mini festivals hitting the road because, you know, you guys put out a record, but there's also people putting out records right now, and there's people that put out records January before that, and then there's Cattle Decapitation as an example that was already riding the hype 2-3 months before the pandemic that are still going to have that hype. So everyone's going to be fighting for that stage in that mm-hmm. city. So there's going to be these eclectic tour packages happening, I think.
I'm really hoping that when things come back, that it's going to be like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm at shows, you know? I would just love, I would love that. I don't, you know, I'm getting old, so I'm kind of like those people that are just at the back, like just chilling. But I just cannot wait to see my favorite bands live again. And honestly, I would go to shows every night if that's what it came down to, because I don't even care. I just want to see live music again. I just want to hang out with my friends and get that blast of guitar in my face, live in person. And yeah, I think it's going to be like that.
What is it that you miss the most?
Yeah, I don't know. Just like the vibe, the feeling when everyone is just kind of, vibing on whatever the band is that they're, you know, we're all there to see them. It doesn't matter if there's a packed house or there's only 30 of us spread out, or, you know, on the floor. It doesn't even matter. I just want that feeling of being surrounded by people that love this band as much as you do. And stoked to see what they do live. I'm a total stealer. I'm always like, yeah, that's a good move. All right, I'll just put that in my pocket, you know, something like that. And I don't know, just I love that feeling. It's kind of like, I don't know if anyone here plays sports, but I was definitely a big sports person when I was younger. And I don't know about you, but watching sports, a sport that you played for a long time or that maybe you were good at, makes you want to play it again. So it's the same mm-hmm. thing for me watching live music. It's just like, it gives me that same kind of feeling of being up on stage, and, you know, you just get a little bit of taste of that. But you know, you don't have to load gear and deal with the cleanup at the end of the night. You just get to go home.
That's true. I love that when I would go do the interviews at the venues, and here I am watching my friends up on stage, and I'm like, damn it, I should be on stage. That
yeah,
little
I know, right?
jealous pang of, but then you have the whole, oh, but I get to wake up in my bed tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, but I get to use my toilet tomorrow when
yeah, I get
want.
To shower. I get
when
to shower
I want
tomorrow.
Too, which yeah. is without the hair.
Exactly.
I those are things that I don't miss, but when I'm there, I guess I'll have that moment of, oh, yeah, that's what this is like.
Oh, yeah. You like come out of it, you're like, oh, man, I can't wait to tour. But then you're like, nah, wait a minute. No, I'm good.
Take me to that first pit. Like, you're standing on stage after COVID. Everything's back to normal. There's no more social distancing. We are at X time ahead of us, and you're on stage and that first pit breaks out. What is your mindset?
Oh man, I'll probably just want to jump in there too. Hold my mic. Oh, that's gonna be the greatest. I just can't wait. I literally cannot wait. I think what I'm most excited for is everyone's gonna have had so much time to ruminate with the album that they're gonna know all the words. And mm-hmm. so I'm going to be able to see people singing along and hear their voices. I'll always remember this one time when we played Chicago and we sold it out, and it was like an amazing crowd. And at one point I just stopped singing and I could hear them, the crowd, louder than the instruments and my monitors and everything. And I was just like, this is it right here. Yeah.
Just goosebumps.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm just like, I can't wait to have that again. That's really what I'm looking forward to. And I probably won't even be able to sing. I'll just be smiling the whole time. I'm like, I'm so glad we're here. Like, holy fuck. Can you believe we're here? Brittany, shut up. Sing.
No metal faces.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, goodness, no. I can't do that in the, you know, normally. It was really funny because one time, I don't know, we were pretty shitty in the early days or whatever, but we always had a good time. And we came off stage and there was like a friend that was like, oh, I want to introduce you to this like big label exec, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, this same crap. And she was just like, oh, yeah, you guys look like you were having fun. It's just like, yes, we were. Because we were always smiling and like running around. It doesn't matter that we probably totally sucked. You know, we didn't care. We just were having a good time. And it's still, you know, still that way to this very day. We're up there because we want to have fun. And we're just sharing music with other people that love heavy metal. That's what it's all about.
I love that. Something did happen this year that was amazing, and that's getting nominated for a Juno Award
Metal
Hard Music Album of the Year. Mm-hmm. Now this list is packed with Vox and Hops alumni, and I think that's super cool. We got Annihilator, yeah. Cataclysm, Protest the Hero, and Vile Creature. Three out of the five are Vox and Hops alumni, and I love that. But I think you're going to win it.
Oh, really? Oh,
I hope
do.
So. What's your mindset when you get nominated for something like this?
The same, really. It was it was just kind of like, awesome, I'm not gonna expect anything, like, just gonna be happy with whatever happens. And the honor of being nominated alone was awesome. And a friend of ours is on the Academy, Karis or whatever it is, and he's like, oh, you guys made it to the next round. Like, he's like, I'm voting for you. And that was like what decided who the nominees were. So when he said that, I was just like, man, that's, you know, that's good enough that's good enough for me, like, to just know that we made the first round of cuts. And then when the actual nomination got announced, we were like, I was like, oh my God, cool. Okay. Yeah. You know, like, two steps down, one step to go. And, but honestly, like, just the whole process, you know, it's just been great so far. And, I mean, it would be really awesome to win, of course, but, just to say, you know, that we got to be a part of it. That's really what I'm going to take away from it all at the end anyway. Yeah.
I'm not sure if they announced anything. Normally there's like an event and stuff. Is there something happening like that where you guys perform or?
No. Yeah. It's all just going to be the same as last time. It's going to be like CBC Music Presents. And, I think they're just going to kind of have a little studio probably in Toronto going. And, I think last time it was Strombolopoulos just kind of sitting there at a piano announcing everything. It's probably going to be the same. My mom was like, they're not going to like Zoom call you. And I was like, no, mom. Zoom call like 50 artists at once. And I think the Golden Globes did that or whatever the one was. And like everyone was muted and shit was just going wrong all over the place. And I was just like, I don't think they're going to risk doing that. So
let's talk about your plan B. Obviously, being a touring professional metal vocalist worked for you. So what if that didn't work for you and that didn't pan out and the band wasn't a success and you were just doing this on the weekends, what would you be doing with your life?
Writing comic books.
Really? Yes.
Oh yeah, for sure. If I didn't have a day job, that's what I'd be doing right now. But you know, music doesn't really pay the bills very well these days. I mean, we're getting to the point where maybe we could live impoverishedly off the band. I'm like seriously considering doing that. But I have like so many ideas and a lot of them I put into the music, right? So like Apex and Abyss are one story and we're working on an EP right now that's a story.
Nice.
And they all, I think, I just, a lot of it's dreams too. Like I'm a really crazy vivid dreamer and I lucid dream and everything. And so a lot of times I wake up and I'm like, well, that was cool. And then I just want to like turn it into a graphic novel. So I definitely probably would write scripts for comic books. Yeah. I can't draw though. So that sucks.
Well, you need to find a partner. You need to find that teammate.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So what is holding you back from doing this and being a musician? Because I can totally see it happening.
Well, it's mostly that I work in the family business, so
the lighting business, that I know.
Yeah. And everyone's involved in kind of a, I don't know, it's not like we all rely on each other, really, basically is what it comes down to. So maybe one day it'll be fine without me and I'll go pursue that, but right now, we're all kind of doing this thing together and navigating the pandemic together and everything. So, not really a good time.
Sorry, later, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit and go write my novel, my graphic novels.
Exactly.
I can't draw them.
I can do stick figures if they need.
That's it. That's
reference.
All you need for. Next time we talk, you'll be in a different place and you'll be doing this, I have a feeling.
Oh man, that would be great.
I have two more questions for you before I turn you over to the Thirsty Thursday gang. We have a mutual movie that we love. We connected on this the first time we were together. Willow is doing a series. Have you seen this and what do you think about that?
What kind of series?
I think it's on Disney Plus. There's going to be like an episodic. I think it's a continuation. Warwick Davis is involved in the project. What do you think about this?
I think it could be good as long as there's a lot of lore there and mythology that I think, and that's what George Lucas was always really good at, story. So I can see something like that being good as long as he's not writing it or directing it. I think it could be really good. I don't know. Put Ron back in the hot seat or something. You know, as long as they don't like try and remake it, like if it is a continuation or kind of a between the lines thing or, you know, just another side to the story that we never got to see or something like that, I'd be down for sure. I'll watch it. Absolutely.
I'm
just
totally
don't think. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that a straight up remake or retelling in episodic form is needed. That movie still holds up to this day. It's still fucking fantastic. I think the only thing that really could get redone is the dragon from so good. And they're like breathing fire. Oh man. That really is the only part where I'm just like, oh yeah, this was made in the 80s. But everything else is fantastic. Don't touch it. But yeah, I'm down with that. I'm always down with, you know, more of what I love, right?
Absolutely. Lucas did write novels after the first movie.
Yeah, I have them, actually. A fan gifted them to me, the whole series, on the last tour. He just, like, handed me this box and was like, I think you should read these. And I was like, okay. And I was like, this pretty little box thing. And then it was, like, all the Willow books inside. I was like, no fucking way. Nice.
Good score right there.
I know. I'm super stoked to read them when I have time.
Let's wrap up with what is the best thing that's come out of COVID for you?
Oh, Twitch, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like the second lockdown happened, Andrew had always really wanted to stream on Twitch. He's, he's the principal songwriter and he's insanely talented musician and he plays piano and the fiddle and guitar and he's really good at engineering and stuff like that. So he immediately started streaming on Twitch and I just joined to be like his cheerleader in the chat or whatever. And then everyone was like, Britt, like, get streaming. And so I was kind of like, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I don't know what I'd do, though. Like, I can't just sing karaoke all night long. I'll probably get a DMCA. And so I just started playing video games like regular Twitchers. And, like, it's honestly just been the raddest time. And it's such a cool community. It's the music community on there. So that's really mostly kind of who I hang out with and who I mingle with and whose streams I hang out in and stuff. So the music side of it is like very supportive and it's just like this really positive place. And we started a Discord channel. And so a lot of our fellow streamers are in there with us and, you know, people that are fans of the band, but are also, you know, just like Rocksmith streamers and stuff like that. And it's been this amazing place to go to, you know, and honestly, with the way that Facebook is going and Instagram and like even TikTok now and just all the social media platforms are being destroyed by corporate greed and fucking bullshit conspiracy theorists and racism. And it's just, they're fucking shitty places to be, really, at the end of the day. And so Discord has kind of become this awesome community of, you know, like-minded people. And if someone says something shitty, you just fucking boot them. You don't even have to worry about it. Facebook, you can't, I mean, you can block them and stuff, but they can still be out there spewing their shit all over the place. So I just love, you know, that it's kind of like a social media platform where you can share your stuff or whatever and you don't have to deal with the negative crap out there in the world. I don't know, maybe I'm sticking my head in the sand, but
No, I completely agree. And all these social media platforms are been created to keep us addicted to it and to prey upon our insecurities and to make us feel like shit on top of the horrible people that use it alongside us.
Yeah. Not great places, really. I can't wait till they're all gone. But then another one will come and just take its place. So, you know, it's not much you can do.
No, it's a necessary evil at some points. Brittany, thank you so much. That is the end of my questions for you for tonight. I will now turn over the questions to the Thirsty Thursday gang who are here with us. If you would like to ask a question, raise your digital hand and I will call upon you. And then you could throw a question to Brittany. We have Philippe de Vitesse. Go for it, buddy.
So, hi, Brittany. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Shitty day, but hey, COVID.
Yeah.
But not important. So my question, you talked about comics and digital graphic novel. Do you have like an inspiration like someone you want to work with. If you want to write a graphic novel or a comics.
Well, I'm not. All of my favorites are really like the authors. So,
yeah.
I mean, it would be cool to kind of partner with someone amazing. Brian K. Vaughan or what's his name? Is it Kirkman? Just started reading a new one by a guy who I think has done quite a bunch, but I've never read any of his other stuff before. And he's amazing. And, you know, but honestly, I haven't. It's really funny. I don't really pay attention too much to the artists or anything. So there's like a few that I've kind of been like, ah, cool. But for the most part, it's the writers that are kind of inspiring me, and their stories are what really captivates me. And there is a particular style, I guess you could say. Like, I'm not sure if you've ever read East of West, but it's a very
no.
It's kind of like a wispy sort of artistic style. And I do often kind of imagine what the story from Apex and Abyss would look like if you know, done out like that. But yeah, nothing really in particular. Probably like my biggest inspiration is Brian, just because he has been so embraced across a lot of different genres. You know, he's written a lot of science fiction, he's written some fantasy, he's written some sort of, you know, low fantasy stuff. He's written, you know, just like stories straight up based on, you know, what's going on in the real world, everyday kind of stuff too. And like just wildly successful and really great writer. So, I mean, I think I'd probably be starstruck and tongue-tied if I ever met him.
That could be fun. I was thinking about Claudio Sanchez from Code and Cabrio,
yeah.
Because he's doing some comics and all. That could be fun to do something with him.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure. I honestly never really got into Coheed, unfortunately. Even though so many people tell me that it's like right up my alley, it's one of those bands where I've just never been in the right headspace to. You know, it took me a while. Like Blind Guardian took me a while to be in the right headspace. And everyone thinks I'm fucking nuts. So, like, I'll get there.
I understand, because Coheed, I love the music. Live, I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's my opinion. but yeah, so if you do a good comics or graphic novel, I instantly buy it.
Awesome. Thank you. Good to know.
Philip, thank you so much. Up next, we have El Super Bisto, Jorge.
Hi, Brittany. How are you doing? Thanks for being here with us.
Oh, no. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
My question is, in regards to the album, the last album, which is awesome, by the way. As Matt mentioned, it's catchy. It's also very melodic, as all of your music. So I was wondering, because the album was released pretty much in the middle of the whole pandemic. So you guys were writing it and recording it in the middle of the whole pandemic, not knowing what was going to happen, a lot of uncertainty. So can you tell us what was the mood behind the writing? How you guys were feeling about the whole process? What was in your minds?
Well, we were actually really lucky, because we had written and recorded it before. We got it finished at the end of January. And then we headed out on tour like immediately after finishing the album. And so we were kind of in this like, okay, it's done. Let's just go on tour and have a good time. And then 6 days into tour, lockdown. And we had to fly home. And it was absolutely crappy. And we watched, like I said earlier, we watched all of the festivals get canceled. We watched all of our tour dates and we had like a world tour booked. In support of the record, we watched them all just get flushed down the toilet. So that part was really shitty. But then we got over that, and it was like, all right, now it's like, let's get to work on this record. Let's start doing PR. Let's figure out the artwork. Let's get the merchandise going. I had like 2 weeks there where I was just like, I don't care about anything. Don't fucking talk to me. And then Napalm was like, well, if you want to release this record, we need some things from you. And I was like, fine. And then I just kind of pulled myself out of it and got back into work mode. But that was like great because it really kept us put like moving. And at one point, Napalm was like, okay, we're going to push the record back. And I was like, okay, because it was originally slated for a, I think it was a May release, end of May. And they're like, we're going to push it to June. And I was like, okay, fine. And then after March, when, or yeah, it was like mid-April when shit was still like, this is not clearing up in 4 weeks, like everyone thought, you know? They're like, hey, we're going to push to July. And then I was like, okay. And then again, push to August. And then they were like, hey, you know what? Let's push to 2022. And that was when I was like, fuck no. I was like, you guys, like look at the what's going on right now. Like everyone is locked inside their home. And I don't know about you, but I am on Spotify every day, all day long, looking for new music to get me through this shit. I was like, this is not something that we push. It's ready to go. Like we're ready. You have everything that you need. Let's do this and let's give people something to look forward to. And so Napalm, begrudgingly, I think, was like, crap, fine, okay, let's do it. And then it was like one of our most successful releases ever. And it was a lot of fun getting to fill our quarantine time up with talking about the record and sharing it with people and answering everyone's questions. And you know what I mean? Like publishing the lyrics and just talking about stuff. So it was like, it was great. But you know, I think we were very lucky. The timing was like insane. The fact that we were in the studio and we came home like January 31st to all the rumors of it. It's coming to Europe. It's coming to Europe. And we got home safely, luckily. So
good. Thank you. One quick question. One last question. So when all this shit is over, when we're all done and dealt with the whole lockdown and pandemic and COVID stuff, and you're back into playing live, what is going to be the first song that you guys going to play?
Oh, that's a really great question.
Or which one would you like it to be? I don't know.
Well, I think it'll be decided by whatever our set list is going to be for the tour that that comes first. And it depends because we've got a support tour lined up and a headlining tour lined up. So whether or not which one of those ends up being the one that we do, that will determine our set length. And then that will determine what songs we get to fit in there. But I'd love to just fucking come out with Abyss, the title track. Just, you know, be like, fuck yeah, finally, here it is live in person. You know, we all can't wait to play it. I know you guys can't wait to hear it. So let's just fucking go. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
That's what I'd do, Brittany. I would start it off and just nail it with that track, with you just building that high note there. And then you're like, oh my God, she goes higher. She goes higher.
I had to keep it exciting. I'd done every other possible whale that existed before already.
I was doing it with my kids the other day, and I was lip syncing in their faces. It was quite funny.
I'm sure they love that. Thanks, Deb.
They're like, Dad, play Du Hast and turn this off.
Nice.
They're obsessed.
It's a good one too.
They're obsessed.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.
After Party King, Evan Welch, up next.
All right. Hey, Brittany, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks. How about you?
Oh, another day above ground.
Yep.
So obvious, unfortunately, as we all know, haven't toured in a while. Are there any places that, you know, in this time off that you've kind of like longingly been like, man, I'd love to go back there? Or like any places that you're just like, man, we got to go there, you know, like just really antsy to get going?
Absolutely. the entire planet. We have never been to Australia, so we really want to get over there. We've never done South America, and like, I'm not sure if you guys are all familiar with the come to Brazil meme, but we would actually really love to come to Brazil. That would be a lot of fun. And like Scandinavia, gotta get up to Sweden. They are consistently our number one area for Spotify listens. And like Norway, Finland, the UK, would love to tour the UK again. We had a lot of fun there. Japan is on the list. Hopefully we can get that going. Would love to go back there. I gotta go to Super Nintendo Land, whatever it's called. Gotta go there. Europe, just gotta get back there. And we had so many amazing places on the docket for 2020. We had like Russia in the works, and we did have a full Scandinavian tour, and UK, and Australia, New Zealand, South America, Mexico. We even were working on India. Like, it was just, there was so much. Yeah. Having had those ripped away from me, I want them. I want them all.
Sleep now, because all those tours you're talking about are mostly airplane ones.
I know. Because of the pandemic, have you found that your music tastes have changed? Like, I found that for some reason, I looked at my playlist one day and I was like, man, there's a lot of black metal on here. I don't know where this came from.
Totally. I discovered what I lovingly call wizard rock. So it's all like old school, like Rainbow, Sabotage, anyone that sounds like them, really, kind of like this classic Dio-esque epicness. I've been listening to a lot of that, and you know, even just like Kansas and fucking whatever I can get my hands on, really, just kind of like chill, clean guitar kind of style. I'm starting to do a little wizard rock playlist that I'll put up on Spotify or whatever. And
I thought you were going to say project.
Oh, man. I would. I just need to not have a day job anymore. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've kind of always had a love for a lot of different genres. I'm always on the lookout for a new like synthwave record, a new pop record, new black metal, new ambient black metal, new death metal, anything. If it's, you know, I'm a mad Spotify listener. So, and I love the recommendations. I'm like, give me all the algorithms. I'm not afraid of AI over here. If it's just going to recommend me more rad bands, you know?
Awesome. I'm switching gears. Sticking with Brewski, I'm going to their Brew Juice, which is fruited sour. Yes, a fruited sour.
Ooh.
This is their Deli 5, which is a Quebecois fruit juice, like a juice box that we have here in Quebec. And it's their Deli 5 Guimauve, so it's a marshmallow juice. Fruited sour. It's got orange, caracara, mandarin, a grapefruit, citron is the lemon, lime, and marshmallow. Just
nice.
Killer. In a crowler.
That looks really
good. I love these crowlers.
Is it really fat? It looks
it's
like
a crowler,
super
yeah.
Fat.
Yeah.
Like, is that a
it's
that
the size
a
of my
visual
head,
effects?
Yeah.
Matt has tiny hands.
It's and instead of the growler situation that's going on, a lot of these breweries have started doing these crowlers, which is a giant can, because
cool.
It will store for longer. With the whole pandemic, a lot of these tap houses, instead of putting beer into kegs, they're doing crowlers. So up next we have Nat.
Long time no see, lady.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Wait, you answered it like six times already.
I know. That's okay.
I have a more important question. How's Kel Hanna?
Oh, he's great. He's really great.
Yeah.
getting way too used to us being home all the time, though. He is a fat little chicken cat. He knows. He just sits in front of the fridge, and we're like, "Aw, buddy, you're so cute. Here's more chicken." Like, he's so fat. But he's great.
That's good. It's always important to ask how animals are adjusting before, you know.
Right? All these COVID puppies ain't going to know what hit them when mom and dad go back to work.
Oh, my God. My dogs are, you know, are, I don't
spoiled.
Know. It's over. But how much do you miss slumber parties?
I miss everything. Important. Anything to do with other people, other human beings. I want to come and party it up out there with you guys. I want to be on tour. I want to sleep in a shitty van. Yes, I said it. I would totally do that again.
On floors. Well, we miss you too. Like, lots and lots. Soon, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully soon. Yeah, we're getting there. Slowly but surely.
We have to be past the halfway mark now.
I hope so. I don't know. Ontario's locking down again. BC just brought back a whole bunch of restrictions. No more in-house dining or whatever. Like, what the hell?
I don't know.
Everyone's blaming millennials. It's like, what the hell? Are you kidding me? I'm not the one going out to the bar on a Friday night and not social distancing and, like, you dummies.
Yeah, I just don't leave my house.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the one playing Doom Eternal on the couch at 2 a.m.
for other people's pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
And Matt, this is for you. I'm drinking Bangarang.
Nice.
It's a brand new seltzer made out of a craft brewery in London, Ontario.
Nice.
And this one is pink lemonade. And they're delicious.
Oh, I tried a pink lemonade one the other day, and it was really good from Phillips. They're like a Victoria brewery over here. They're like banging brewery, just knocking it out of the park every time. Their stuff is so good. It's actually the brewery we were drinking in our Faster Than Light music video. So everyone had a different.
Well, if I ever actually get out of Ontario, Quebec, part of Canada, I will come check it out.
Please do. Come hang out with Absolutely. Us. You come on tour over here.
I know. We're supposed to, because I'm working with Lufaro.
Oh, nice.
We'll see. If shows ever happen again, I'll let you know.
Yep.
They will. They will. Up next, we have the metal architect, Jerry Monk himself.
What's going on? We all talk about good stories and bad tour stories. What's your funniest tour memory?
Well, it wasn't really the greatest, but the fact that it just ended up like so great, it's a pretty great story. The first time we toured the U.S., we had this management company working for us, and we got like two shows booked by them for us in L.A., and one of them was an all-ager show that ended at like 10 p.m., so of course we were like, let's hit the bar. And so we went out and we were all drinking and having a really good time. And at the time, Grant had this killer studded vest, like just killer, beautiful, pristine, studded, patchy, rad, really well done vest. And this was like, it was quite new. So it wasn't the shitty, smelly tour vest that it became, the degraded by sweat vest that it is now. But it was nice. And so we're at the bar, and he's talking to this chick, and she's like, "Oh, I love your vest, let me wear it." And he's like, "Sure," but puts it on her, and they're talking and chatting or whatever. But of course, we're all pretty obliterated at the time. And he comes over to me, he's like, "Britt, where's that girl?" And I was like, "What girl? What are you talking about? The one I was talking to, the one wearing my vest." And I was like, "Oh, no. She peaced out wearing his vest, and apparently she did it on purpose." And so Grant was just like, fucking him out, and we were like, "Dude, like we're hopping in the van at like 2 a.m. like we gotta go." And he's like, "Do not leave without me. I'm not coming home until I have that vest." And so we were all just like, "Fuck, okay." So we like continued to hang out. We got burgers or whatever, and we heard after that he went on this fucking adventure. I'm telling you, I still to this day, I applaud his determination and just sheer will to find this thing because he came home in time with the vest and he had like, I don't even, he'd gone all over town. He found, he found this, the girl that was with the girl and was like, hey, where'd your friend go? And she's like, I don't know. We just grabbed burgers and then she went that way and she lives in an apartment like down there. And Scram was like, okay. And then he saw another guy like chilling on a patio down the street and was like, hey, you were at the bar. You were with that girl. Where's that girl? Where does she live? And the guy was like, oh shit. Like, yeah, she lives in that apartment complex over there, but she's on the second floor. And so Graham was like, shit, yeah. And like jumps the fence and then climbs this building. And of course the sliding door is open, goes into this girl's apartment and she's in there partying with a couple people and fucking rips the vest off of her and was like, fuck you. Don't take my shit. Puts it on and like pieces out. Like, I was just like, that is the greatest story of all time. Like, how did you fucking do this? It was so great. It was so great. And just, I can just imagine like that when that guy is on a mission, you can't stop him. So that's probably the best.
That could be like a 90s movie with like, with, you know, like, what's the guy in High Fidelity? John yes. Cusack. John yes. Cusack is Grant in the movie.
Absolutely. So perfect. Oh man, just this whole night of hijinks to find this vest. That's such a great idea. Yeah.
You can have it.
2.5% royalties on all net revenues. There you go.
We'll see. I'll have my Thirsty Thursday lawyers contact yours. Jorge has another question. Go for it.
Oh, wait. Dave's comment. The girl has an equally good story. She sure does. Absolutely. I love that.
crawling into her.
Dude shows up into the living room like, give me my shit.
Oh, yeah. She's probably talking. She's still talking about that stuff for sure.
Absolutely.
I swear he's famous now. He's yeah. famous now. Look at his YouTube. Over 1 million
plays. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I wore his vest.
Okay, well, so that's a great story. Thank you for sharing. And in a similar vein, what's your most memorable gig? The most memorable gig so far? It could be the best, it could be the worst. Like so far, which is the gig that just stands up there in your mind as the most memorable gig ever?
Oh, there's been a lot. That Chicago gig was pretty rad. That was like our first time ever selling out a U.S. venue. So that was a really cool time. The first time we toured Mexico, we played in this small little bar and it was literally 40 degrees outside still at night when we played and they didn't have air conditioning.
Oh, yeah.
And it was packed. It was absolutely packed. So, you know, we put on a show. We move around and we, you know, we don't just stand there windmilling Cannibal Corpse style. No offense, Cannibal Corpse. I love it. I'm very much a fan, but you know, we run around and we all finished that set looking like we had just taken a shower. Literally, hair soaked. Scott's drums were doing this and they had pools of water in them.
Oh, wow.
I'm like sweating onto the drums. The boys were all out of tune. I was great. I was loving the steamy, like my vocals were like just prime. But I looked like crap. I looked like I had been drowned in the river. But that it was still a lot of fun. It was a rad tour. It was a very, very successful tour. But after that night, we said to our handler, we were like, no more venues without air conditioning. He's like, that's the only one. I promise. That was the only one. So it was great.
The next one had an air conditioner, but it was broken.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, it's funny that you say that because that is true. But
course.
it was a much larger venue and there was a lot more room for people to move about and it wasn't quite as stuffed in as the other one was. So it wasn't nearly as bad. It was still hot, but not taking a shower at 10 p.m. at night hot.
You got to love tour managers and their level of being able to deliver BS to make us happy.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's true. There was actually another one of them, because we were getting the drum kit every night was being provided by the venue. And one night we showed up and all the cymbals were splashes. It was so funny. Scott was just like, really? I need one splash, but I certainly don't need five. That's and hilarious. Luckily, the opener let Scott use all, because he had his own, all of his own. So it was really funny. But we were just like imagining what it would sound like, the whole record done in splashes. Like when you ride that ride and it's a splash, just imagine that. It's so funny. So good.
Awesome. If anyone else has a question, the time is now. If not, we'll just... Oh, we got Belgian Jasper himself.
Hey.
Hey, Brittany. Good to see you again. I want to ask you a quick question, because you've got that beautiful, you know, poster or flag of explorers behind you.
This one?
Yeah, that one. My question is twofold. One, how was it for you to realize that your cover of a Canadian folk song was so relatable, apparently, all over the world, because Northwest Passage became such a, you know, a viral hit? And then second, when I was talking to Grant a couple of months ago, he said that he really wants to record Barrett's Privateers one time. Can we expect that in that EP that you teased earlier in this conversation?
Oh man, that would be a really great bonus track for the EP, actually. you never know. Could do it. It's, Northwest Passage, honestly, it was originally slated to be the bonus track for Apex. And so when you have a label in Japan, they always require a special bonus track that no one else has. So we were like, okay, well, we've always loved Stan Rogers. We play him on tour all the time. We love Northwest Passage. Let's do Northwest Passage. But then when we heard it, we were kind of like, no, this cannot be a Japanese exclusive track. This is just too near and dear to our hearts. So we held on to it. We recorded Queen of the Reich instead, gave them that, and saved Northwest Passage for a lull, basically. So we had time in the summer of 2019. Yes. And we said, okay, let's release it now. While people, we had been teasing that we were writing a new record and all that stuff. And we were just, you know, it had been a while since Apex had come out. So we're like, okay, this is the right time. And yeah, we had no idea that people were going to like it so much. And to be honest, we really thought that lovers of the original were going to kind of be like, what the fuck is this? You know, like, get off our lawn. So it was really awesome when people embraced it, and not just metal fans, but like tons of people. And like my mom shared it with her friends and they all loved it. And like Scott's grandma shared it with her friends and they all loved it. And it was just kind of, you know, it was about not just like the song itself, but it was about kind of this Canadian spirit that we all have. I think it really touched a lot of people. And I'm not sure if there's any Americans on this call, but a lot of Americans didn't even know that it was a cover song. And they were kind of like, whoa, this is weird. And what a strange choice, but I love it. And I was like, no, it's a cover of like a fucking icon for Canada. So, and then they just, you know, they loved it even more. They would listen to the original, and then, you know, people would learn about Stan Rogers, and that's super important to us too. And it was just kind of like, yeah, out of nowhere. And the fact that it's still our number one song on Spotify, like, just blows my mind. But we love that everyone loves it, and that it really paid off for it to not be this little Japanese secret. You know, just kind of, it showed us that we made the right choice in sharing this with everyone. And yeah, we decided to make a music video for it and everything. And it just, yeah, it's great. And I would love to do Barrett's Privateers. I mean, honestly, it's such a rad song. And the only thing really that's stopping us is the fact that Ailstorm did it. But I think we would maybe kind of do a different take on it. Well, maybe, I don't know. We'll see what we can do. If that, at least Napalm will already have the rights to it or whatever, have done with the, dealt with the paperwork.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Everyone, thank you so, so much. Brittany, thank you so, so much. Hanging out with me, talking about life, metal and craft beer. And with the Thirsty Thursday gang, I had a blast hanging out with you. We're going to keep hanging out at Thirsty Thursday, but we're going to stop recording this. You had to be here with us if you wanted to keep hanging out with us, and you should do that next time. Everybody that's here right now, unmute yourselves, make some noise, and give Brittany the love that she deserves.
Cheers. Cheers, everyone. Cheers.
Thank you so much, Brittany. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Hey, thank you all so, so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. I love Brittany Slays. I love Unleash the Archers. I sincerely do believe they will win that Juno for Abyss. What a killer record. I honestly just finished listening to it while cleaning my house. As I mentioned, my house needed some vacuuming done, and Unleash the Archers Abyss was my soundtrack to that activity. And it worked. My house is now tidy. A massive cheers to Brittany for coming and hanging out with me and the Thirsty Thursday gang. Massive cheers to the Thirsty Thursday gang for being there with me and asking a bunch of amazing questions. I love doing these, and I am already excited for next month's live interview Thirsty Thursday virtual hang. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should follow it on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, you should also rate it and write a review, because when you do that, more metalheads just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You should also sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do it on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Trust me, do it. This is a party you do not want to miss. Sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I have one more episode coming at you tomorrow, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series
about how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app
and subscribe now.